Super Bowl? How many of you are not ready for it? Okay. How many of you are going to sit home and watch it? Okay. How many of you are just lying to me this morning? Okay. Great time of season, isn't it? Last Sunday, a great basketball player died. Kobe Bryant. One of the greatest of all time. Got up that morning, and his daughter went to church. Praising the Lord Jesus Christ. At the church, they went and got in a helicopter to go to an afternoon basketball game. Never made it. Helicopter crashed and 9 people died that day. They didn't expect to die that day, I'll guarantee you that. They expected to go to another basketball game. He expected to spend the rest of his day rooting for his daughter who was playing and others that were on that flight with him. I say that to say this, and I say it every Sunday. Life is short. You could be next. But you never know the day, the hour, nor the time when your life may end. Whether it's through a heart attack, stroke, some illness you've got, some accident you may be in, trip, fall, whatever it may be, your life can end very quickly. Last Sunday was a tragic day. But there's one thing that I do know. Even though it was a tragic day, from things I've read and things I've heard, they had a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That was the most important thing. Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And that's true. Today in the book of Hebrews, in chapter 12, if you'll turn to it, we're going to look at a passage of Scripture which I hope will relate to what I just said. Because in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, it talks about running a good race. There are many people who have run the good race, many people who are running the race, and many people who now are not in the race because now they have gone on to be with the Lord. That could be you or me this week or this afternoon. We are to strive for perfection in our Christian walk of life, to give of our time and our talent, to be the best that we can be in serving the Lord. Each day that God gives you to live is a day that you should say, thank you, Lord, for loving me. Thank you, Lord, I have another opportunity to live the Christian life. You see, Christian living is compared to warfare. We're always in a battle, no matter what. Day after day, we fight. We endure the hardships that come our way. Paul said in 2 Timothy 2:3, he said these words, as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, we fight on. We persevere. We never slow down. We give of ourselves daily in our walk. You see, Paul was particularly fond, as the Bible teaches us, that we are to put on God's armor every day. If you've ever read Ephesians 6, 10 through 18, you'll see where it says, put on that armor. Because you never know what's coming your way. You never know what fiery dart may be shot at you that day. You never know what's coming in the race that you're running. Have you ever run a race? Have you run it well in life? I remember in high school and running on the track team. The only problem was I hated to run. I don't know about the rest of you. That was the most grueling thing in life. Get out there and run a quarter mile. That could be 5 or 6 of you running. The only thing I had on my mind when I was running was this. Wasn't too concerned about whether I won the race. I was only concerned about finishing the race that was before. There are many runners who run a race that never finish the race. They may trip. They may fall. Somebody may cut them off. They may have a cramp hit them in the leg. The Charlie horse will get tight. Whatever. And they never complete the race. Years ago in Mississippi, when I was doing a lot of running then, 5 and 10K runs, I remember May and myself going to Pascagoula, Mississippi to run in a race. And I always remember the race because I ran the 2-mile race. I didn't want to do a 10K or whatever. So I did the 2-mile, a little short one, you know. And boy, I was running myself to death. I mean, here I'm going as hard as I can go, and all of a sudden this little boy look at the age of Caden, I guess, came right by me. Gone, you know. I thought to myself, where'd he come from, you know? I didn't see him start before. He sure finished before me. But he gave me that drive to finish no matter what. Well, May got into the long race. And there was a guy running with her who had a prosthesis. He was running the race. He was about ready to quit about halfway through. And all of a sudden, May says, don't quit. And May ran with him that whole race. He'd always been last in every race that he ever ran. Well, that day, May was last. She took the time to talk with him and to nurture him through all the pain and agony he was going through with the prosthesis, and he finished the race. You know, when I think about that, that's the kind of races that we need to run more of. Even though you may be last in the race, just remember this, as long as you finish the race, that you don't give up and you don't quit in the middle. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning, about the race that we're running and where is your race today. Would you please stand with me in reverence the reading of God's Word, chapter 12 of Hebrews, in the first three verses. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, he said, let us lay aside every weight and sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience, now listen very carefully, the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners. Against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. Verse 12, the last part, he says this, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Father in heaven, I ask that you will bless this message today, that it will touch us in some way to see where we are in this life. We're never guaranteed another day. So the race we run today is very, very important. Important where we end. Paul was a man in the Bible we study about that ran the race and finished the course. Why? Because he fought it and he did the best he could and he blessed it for. May we take to heart his life and things he did and the writer of this Hebrews, Lord, that will understand the purpose of what the word is all about. In the name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated this morning. Key phrase is the event that he gives us in this first verse of chapter 12 of Hebrews, where he said in the last part, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Unfortunately, many people today are not even in the race. You hear that? I'm not talking about people outside the church. I'm talking about people in the church are not in the race today. Why is that? Well, some are merely just jogging along, you know. Don't want to wear yourself out too much, do you? Some are on the sidelines, taking a seat, watching the competition. Some are walking slowly along, saying, well, this isn't for me. You know, we got all kinds of excuses on why we cannot run the race for the Lord. What does the Bible teach us? What is the biblical principle that we're to follow today? What is the standard for living a holy life in a race today? Paul said in Timothy, he said this. He said, I have fought a good fight. Paul was always talking about running a race. And Paul ran a good race because he never stopped in the middle of the race. When Paul was beaten and left for dead on many streets, as we talk about in studying the Bible, when he was shipwrecked, when he was in prison, house arrest, whatever it was, he never ever stopped running the race. He didn't let the obstacles keep him for pursuing what God had for him to do. It seems today that we have a tendency that we only want to go so far in life. There's a word called agon in the Greek, A-G-O-N. We get our English word agony from it. It's an agony to run a race, isn't it? When's the last time any of y'all ran? Anytime. Last week, yesterday, day before, 2 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, last time you went high school, what was the last time you ran a race? Huh? It's hard, isn't it? I watched the funniest thing yesterday, and I don't know if y'all been keeping up with the impeachment trial. I had to watch Jerry Nadler when he jumped up ahead of Shifty Schiff, I call him. And I laughed because they said, and he made a statement on the news, they've never seen him move so fast in his life. Amen. He was in a race to get to the podium. You see, when you run a race today, it means that you have to do something. But you have to be prepared to run the race. None of us in here, I doubt, can get up and run what I call a 25-mile race. Amen? Most of us can't even run 1 mile. When was the last time you ran a mile? Somebody asked me the other day, said, what is it about running that you don't like? I said, why run when you can ride? Amen? Huh? That's my philosophy. Why run when you can ride? They got a bicycle the other year. When's the last time somebody rode a bicycle? Every day, good. Anybody else? Every day? Okay, good, good. You know, if you haven't ridden it for a while, it's pretty hard, isn't it? You don't forget how, it's just the idea of doing it. So they got a bicycle the other year, you know, and I said, this is great. I'm going to try this thing out, you know. I jumped on it, took off from the shop, got it in the driveway of my shop, right, turned around, walked it back to the building. I said, that's about riding a bicycle. You know, as long as I had to do something with my legs, I didn't need to do that anymore. Same thing when you prepare for a race, right? You just don't get out and run the whole thing. You start out with what, those baby steps. You start out just a little bit out of a time, you know, just running. You jog along for a while. Then next time you go run, you jog maybe just a little bit faster. And a little bit faster. And before long, you may make that mile. Then you say, well, I'm going to try a mile and a quarter. Then you do a mile and a half. Then you'll do 2 miles. Before long, you'll be up to about 5 miles and not even realize that you're running along. There was something that I used to do when I ran in the Navy was the fact I used to wear weights, ankle weights, you know. That thing's supposed to weigh about 5 pounds or so, you know. But, you know, it gives you that little bit of extra weight there. So when you take them off, you feel like a butterfly. Well, you just flip right along. You fly down the road, right? And the reason I did that was because when I ran, when we had to do PT in the military, and we had to run the 5 miles or whatever. Well, we didn't have to run a 5 mile. We had to run at least a mile and a half, you know. But for an old guy in the 40s, you know, that's pretty hard to do. So I used to put weights on ankles around my feet, you know, and put it on there, and I'd run. Well, the day that we came to do the part of the PT, I'd take those things off. And, boy, let me tell you what. When you can run a mile and a half at the age of 40 in 8 minutes, that was good. And I could beat them young guys, them 18 and 19-year-old guys. They wanted to say, well, how did you do that? And I said, training. You have to train to be able to what? To pursue your goal in life. That's what it comes down to in whatever you do. Paul said in the writer of Hebrews, and I think Paul wrote Hebrews, you can say what you want, but I believe Paul wrote this book because it relates to the way he wrote. But he said this. He said, if you're going to start a race, practice and prepare to finish the race. Don't quit. Today, as a Christian, my friends, we are not to quit in the middle of our calling and serving Jesus Christ. When God called me into ministry, I tried to quit 6 months before I got into ministry. And I had the old saying, like most of you, Lord, not me, call him. Amen. That's what I was saying, right? If Billy had been around at that time, I said, don't call me, call him. You know, that's what I would have done. The fact is, we do not want to have to progress ahead too much. I just want a little bit of Christianity. I don't want a whole lot. But unless you get into the book and you start running the race God has given to us, what do? We quit in the middle of the race. Because sometimes the Christian walk is a grueling walk. It's not easy. You have to prepare yourself. You have to be what I call self-disciplined. You've got to discipline yourself to be able to do what God wants you to do. We have to get obstacles out of our way. I remember when I was in high school, and we used to do track. How many ever ran hurdles in high school? Okay? There was one thing that I always remember about hurdles, and if you were a good hurdler, you could do this. You could put a bottle cap on top of a hurdle. And when you stepped over the hurdle, the only thing that fell off was the bottle cap. That's how close you tried to cut the top of it. Not too many people could do that because you'd watch people hit it, fall down, and trip over the thing. The fact is, when you get to the point that you're that good, you're good. But it takes time and practice to be able to hit that and to go over this thing in a race. Obstacles will always be before us in our Christian walk of life. But don't let the obstacle trip you up. Don't let it stop you. Don't let it hinder you in any way that you live. Take the race, he says here. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight. Get those weights off of you and start to put what? Put the feather weights on you that you can run the race God has given to you. We all have some type of burden in our life. I know it. We have a lot of baggage that we carry around. We got to get rid of the baggage. And the only way to get rid of the baggage is to do what? To throw it off and say, I'm going to run the race for the Lord. Get that stuff off you. Ask forgiveness of your sins as the Lord teaches us here. It's a grueling thing. In Amos 6:1, the Lord said this, woe to them. I wish he had quit right there. It would have been great. But he said this, woe to them that are at ease in Zion and trust in the Mount of Samaria. Now, I know that most of you here, how many military men I got here this morning?
Okay.
You remember when you were in the military? You remember boot camp? You remember when they would tell you to be at ease? Remember that? You could be standing at attention, okay? This is what the military does. You only had to do two things. You had attention, and they said, at ease. All you had to do was go, that's at ease. That's where it's at. This is where we are today in the world. We're at ease, you know? We can stand in this position for a long time. But what does it do for you? It gives you just a time of break, of rest. Then you go back to the attention part of it. Then you go back to at ease again. What am I moving? I'm only moving two things. I'm moving my arms and one leg. You don't move this leg. If you did, you're on the ground because they would knock you down for doing it. See, we are at ease today. You remember Job in the Bible? What did Job say? The Lord give, the Lord take it away, bless his name of the Lord. Remember that? Huh? He had a great life, had everything, lost everything. But you know what Job said, in the chapter, I think it's about chapter 9, around verse 6 or so? He said, I was buffeted, I was shot at with arrows, everything came my way. He said, boy, I was in agony and all these things were going on in my life. And he said this. He said, the only reason it happened to me, and I'll paraphrase it, is because I was at ease. He said, Job was at ease, yes. Job was just like us. You can walk with the Lord. You can talk with the Lord. You can say you're close to the Lord. But one instant you get lax, my friends, and you're at ease. Guess who comes in and says, hello? It's the devil. You see, that's why you and I have to run the race to the fullest potential God has given to us. And not to quit in the middle of the race. He tells us that they had seen a great thing, great signs and wonders that were done when these people got saved. Go back to chapter 11. What's the chapter 11 talk about in Hebrews? That is what we call the faith chapter. It talks about all these great faith people, you know, of the Lord, right? How faithful are we? We can sing a song, great is thy faithfulness. The fact is, great is whose faithfulness? His. We're not as great as he is. No, we're not. But we are to strive for perfection in the relationship with Jesus Christ. And unless you're running the race, you're not striving for perfection in Jesus Christ. In other words, you're just spinning your wheels in the mud. You're not living for the Lord as we should. See, we're not called to lie down, to roll over, or to quit. We are called to run the race that is before us. We're called to do what God asks of us to do. Think about the old ways of Judaism. This is what the people wanted to do. They wanted to go back to the way they used to live. My question is this. Why do you want to go back and live the way you used to when it was harder trying to live that way than just trying to live with Jesus Christ? Because we make it hard. We make it difficult. Because I have to make some changes in my life. I can't drink, smoke, cuss, fuss, do whatever I want to do. The Lord said what? I am to love. We talked about Sunday school this morning. Great class this morning. I hope you had yours was like mine because it was like this. To love the Lord thy God with heart, mind, and soul, right? We studied Deuteronomy chapter 6. I love that chapter. Why? Because it just lays it out. And Jesus said the same thing in the New Testament. He said, to love the Lord thy God, heart, mind, and soul, to love thy neighbor as thyself, and even more than yourself. He said, if you're going to do this, you've got to run a race, but you've got to run it with me hand in hand, letting him hold you Let him lead you. Let him direct your path of life. And never, never give up. And never go back to participating in the things that you used to do. Start running the race this way and not that way. Have you ever seen a runner run the wrong way? Football, amen, yeah, okay. Football. Have you ever seen a guy catch a football and he's running down the field and all of a sudden he realizes everybody's hollering, not that way, not that way, the goal's down here. Huh? You ever seen that? That's how Christians run today. Instead of running to the goal that's before us, my friend, we're always running to the opposite goal. We're running the opposite way because we don't know what to do with Jesus. I'll tell you what you do with him. You put him in front of you and you follow him, and I'll tell you what, you hit the goal every time. But unless you do, you won't. See, we always like to go back this way. It's easier to back up sometimes than to go ahead. It's hard to make that next step. It's hard to move ahead when things aren't going the way you think they should go. He didn't tell us you'd have a perfect life. But he did say one thing. He said you'd have a better life, a loving life. In the book of Philippians, it says this in chapter 2, verse 15. He said, that ye may be blameless and harmless, sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, he says, or nation. We're living in a crooked and perverse, what? Nation today. Same words that were written thousands of years ago. He said also this, ye shine as lights in the world. Ye should be shining as lights in the world. He said, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain, he said. Yea, and if I be offended, he said, or offered upon a sacrifice in the service of your faith, joy and rejoice with you all. In the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. What did Paul say? He said, I don't care if I'm rebuked or whatever happens to me, how I'm beaten down, walked on, trotted on, whatever. He says one thing. He said, I keep going ahead. I'm in the race to finish the race. I'm in the race to give it my best. And that's what race is about, moving ahead, building that life, and living for Jesus Christ. So the first thing is the event here is living that way. Well, the second thing is this. You need encouragement, don't you? Huh? But you need to be encouraged. Sure we do. We like that little pat on the back. Doing a good job. Sure we do. But what does it mean here? We are creatures of what I call in this light up here, we are creatures of motivation. We got to be motivated. Do something. Isn't that right? If you're not motivated, how far are you going to go? You need somebody to motivate you sometimes to get up. I think the greatest thing when I was growing up is the fact my mother and father used to motivate us to get up and go to school. If you don't get up and go to school this morning, I'm going to come in there and beat you where you can't go. Amen. You know? Yeah, that's true. That's what it used to be back in those days. Your breakfast is on the table. The bus will be here in 15 minutes. You got to get up and go. Motivation. You got in school, right? How do you get motivated when you're in school? The teacher would say you got a test tomorrow. Didn't motivate you? Didn't motivate me at all. Yeah. You know? Motivation. We have to be motivated to do something. If self does not get out of the way, we don't get too motivated to do anything. Motivation is a part of the Christian walk of life. That encouragement while we're doing things. One of the greatest, I think, motivators of all time and encouragement today is this. Was the fact that these unbelieving Jews, as well as these Christians in this time, and these great believers, still had a tendency to want to stop in the middle of the race. Goes back to May, walking and running with that guy in the race. Motivating him. Keep going. Don't quit. Don't quit. You only got 5 miles to go. You can make it. You know, limping along, but still going. Dragging that prosthesis with him. Still going, not quitting, you know, able to finish the race. Why? Because there was somebody there to encourage him and to motivate that individual to keep pushing ahead. You see? Paul did that in his writing. Paul motivated. Remember young Timothy? He was like a son. And young Timothy, boy, he got in one of them churches, and all of a sudden it's like, whoo! Why'd you send me here, Paul? Because you were young, and you could what? You could run the race. You could lay with it. You could do it. You could prosper because you were not afraid to stand up on what you believe in the things that your grandmother and your mother taught you. You were able to do those things. He said you were able to do the things of love and unity and togetherness in the body of Christ. And he was motivated to move ahead. You see, We need to have that motivation today, don't we? We need to be motivated. I think on Friday nights when I'm sitting at the house and I'm going over things, Saturday night, I'm type of, I don't like to go anywhere on Saturday nights, but I'm reviewing everything for this morning, Sunday school, all kind of things all day long. And the first time you can see me ever go out on a Saturday night, unless it's to eat, amen. I don't even like to do that. That's okay, too. But the fact is, when I sit there and I think about why do I do what I do, and I start reading God's Word, it's the motivation of the Word in Jesus Christ who died for me that gets me moving ahead. It gives me that uplift that I need to say, yes, Lord, I will do what you ask for me to do. Look what he says here. He talks about here about this event. He talks about encouragement, motivation. And he said the hindrances, the encumbrances he talks about that hinder us from doing what God wants us to do. What hinders you from doing what God asks of you to do? I'll give you one sentence. I don't have time. Really? I don't have time. Call me some other time. I'll wait till tomorrow. This isn't the right moment. Boy, we can come up 101 excuses why we can't do something. Because we want things, the things that hinder us today. Let me tell you what. This word encumbrance comes from a word called onkos, okay? Onkos. Simply, it means a bulk or a mass that weights you down. That's what it means. A bulk or a mass that weights you down. What weights the world down today? Sin. That big, big word, three little letters called sin, it weights us down. And it keeps us down. You remember the movie Pilgrim's Progress? Have you read the book and saw the movie? You remember him when he was going and he had all his weight on him? You remember that? Oh, he's going as strong as he can go. And when he finally gets to his destination, he sees what? He saw the gate he needed to get through, and all that weight was thrown off of him. And what did he do? He ran the race, no matter how much weight he had on him. But when he got to the end, what happened? It was relieved of him. He entered in because he knew what he needed to do. When you're carrying weight in your life, sin is in your life, you cannot run the race that is set before you because you have to remove the obstacle that's holding you down. That obstacle in this life is called sin. And it's running rapid in the world today. Yes, it diverts us, takes our attention away from what we used to be doing or should be doing, and we're not focused on what God wants us to do. Verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Well, you say, well, he's the Son of God. That's right. He is the Son of God. He was a sinless Son of God. It was made sin for you and sin for me. He was willing to endure the hardship of this world to give us an abundant life in this world. How do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, just go back to Hebrews for just a minute, chapter 11. Look what he said. Verse 1. He said, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. He said, well, that sounds all good. Well, look at the next verse. For by it, he said, the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds, he said, were framed by the word of God, so that things which were seen were what? And are not made of things which do not appear, it says. By faith, Abraham. Everything that we do is by faith and believing that Jesus Christ is going to act upon what he tells us he's going to do. If he had not went to the cross of Calvary, my friends, he would not acted upon that. Where would we be today? We would be in a lost state with no Savior, with no Redeemer, with nobody sitting on the right hand of God the Father. You and I wouldn't even have a relationship with him. But because of that love for us, he was willing to endure death, hell, and the grave, the shame that was thrown upon him, the beatings that he took, so that you and I could do what? Continue to run the race that's set before us, because he runs with us in the race, because he's been through the race. He's been through the turmoils of life. He understands what we feel today. And he still, my friends, will reach out to us because he wants you to be with him and he wants to be with you and he wants to share the gospel message with you. But we can't do it until we realize something. That we're sinners. We're saved by God's grace. By faith, we believe in that. And he's the only one that can give us eternal life, and nobody else can do that. I can't give it to you. Tommy can't give it to you. None of you can give it to me or anybody else. It's through the relationship that's built through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit that comes to indwell those who fall on their face before him and ask forgiveness of sin. So what's your example to follow today? There's only one. His name is Jesus. He's the only example. You know, Paul was good at that. He was the imitator of Jesus Christ. Remember he talked about that in his word? I'm an imitator. Do you want people to imitate you? Huh? You want people to imitate you? To follow you? Huh? Anybody? Let me tell you something. To be an imitator of Jesus Christ, it means one thing. You have to live like Jesus Christ. Can't do that. Why? Well, I'm a sinner saved by grace. Yeah, but the Bible says I'm a sinner saved by grace. And that my sins are imputed into him and his righteousness has been put into me. So I am to do what? I am to do what? Strive to run the race to the end and give it my best. And even if I do fail, I'm still get up and he dusts me off and I still continue on the race and never quit. No, I'm a long way from perfection. I can say that right now. And so are you. Because we will never be perfected until the day we go to heaven and a glorified body. But we have a lot to look at in this life. We have to look at where we are, where we're going to, what do we want out of this life. If you don't want Jesus Christ in your life, then I'm going to tell you what, you got a problem in the first place. Because Jesus should always be the center of your life. So what do I say here? Examples to follow. The mechanics of running the race. A place for such concern, my friends, is that if I'm not doing my best, what can I do to better myself in the race? What do? You practice and you strive harder and harder and harder. Back in my younger years when I used to smoke, I quit when I was 35. I can't believe that, 35 years ago. When I was in the Navy Academy and we were training and running every day, back when I was smoking cigarettes, well, we would go down and run 2 or 3 miles and come back, light a cigarette up, you know, kick back, you know. That's a good thing. Never thinking about killing your lungs, right? And you run 3 or 4 miles or whatever, and you come back and you light up. Then the next day you do the same thing. And you continue on the process. We didn't know we were killing ourselves. We were just doing our thing. Had a good friend of mine that was in school with us. We were running one afternoon, and he said that he was going back to the room, he was going to take it easy, he was going to go run downtown, you know, in Newport, Rhode Island, where we were at. That afternoon, I got word back, he dropped dead running down the street. Had a massive heart attack, 35 years old. That afternoon, you thought he was just as healthy as a horse. Yeah. Goes to show you don't know when or where. He was running the race of his life. When his life was over with, it was finished. That was it. So remember this. When you run a race in this life, when it's time for the race to end, it will end. You will not run that race again in this life. But it's important where you're going to go to after you run the race in this life, where you are in the next life. He tells us very plainly, we have examples to follow, and that's Jesus Christ. And at the end of the race, at the end of that race, whether you win, whether you're in last place or whatever it may be, my friends, I want you to realize something. Finish the course that's before you. Never quit. Because I'll guarantee you one thing, there will always be somebody behind you, running behind you. There's always those coming up from behind. There are always those that will be working and driving ahead. I want to read to you in 2 Timothy 4. Because I want you to get the picture as I close out this morning about a race. A good race. Paul said this, chapter 4, verse 6, "For I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand." He's ready. Ready to go. I fought a good fight. Here it comes. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. And when Paul said those words, I fought a good fight, I finished my course, he meant exactly what he said. As I started out my message this morning about Kobe Bryant and his family, those on that plane, he was on a course. But the church praised Jesus, sang him, left. The course for that day was to do the church first, then to do the rest for the day. Got on the helicopter, sat in that nice plush seat, daughter and friend. They took off. The course was laid out in that helicopter. Course came to an abrupt end on a hillside. The course was finished. The life was gone. And a new beginning started. That's what I call that. I want you to remember that could be any one of us at any time, at any place. So if you're going to run a race for Jesus Christ, give it your all while you're.